Hey everyone, it's Thomas and the Bible episode, I'm pretty sure 86, a lot of episodes. I should stop doing these, it's too many. coming at you on the Ustream, 45 minutes late. Yep, that's me. I'm not capable of being on time. I don't know what it is, but this time it was that I was trying to post F This Podcast forever, and even though I linked episode 44, it just decided that it wanted to link episode 4. I have no idea why. Like, I don't know if I can explain that. Double-checked the URL a million times. I had it right, but every time I'd click on it, it would go to episode 4. What's the stupid WordPress thing, maybe? Like, it just looks for something that's similar and just decides, like, nah, you want this. You want episode 4. You don't, trust me. You don't want episode 44. I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I'm late. But I wanted to go later because it seemed like more people were coming on later. Yet, having said that, there's no one on. So, I probably went too late. So, I'm just going to get started. Anyway, we're on 2 Kings chapter 10. And this reading sucks, as usual. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, Now as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, a fenced city also, and armor, look even out to the best and meetest of your master's sons, and let him and set him on his father's throne, and fight your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, Behold, 2 kings stood not before him. How then shall we all stand? And he that was over the house, and he that was over the city, and the elders also, and the bringers up of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, We are thy servants, and we will do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. So Jehu, he's the new king. He's the new king in town. Well, he was last reading, so he's not like brand new. But he's the one who killed, who's that one who's being a real Jezebel? I can't remember. He killed Jezebel, and he's also now... He was the one who, like, they anointed him with oil, did that prank, and then he took it too seriously, and now is king. So, what happened? So this land that he... Well, he killed some kings, if you remember. Like, there's the king Ahab, who was, like, prophesied that he was going to be killed, and so he dressed up in a disguise to go to war, and then a random arrow just killed him. But anyway, it's kind of unclear to me, but I think Jehu is writing to the other kingdom. Because you know how, like, there's the Israelites, and then there's some other king. It's all fragmented now. He's writing to another kingdom, one of the ones that he just killed the king of. And he says, like, hey, everyone, go ahead and find the best son of your masters and have them be king and come at me. I think he's, like, taunting him almost, like, yeah, come at me. Why don't you find your best man, and the people are like, he defeated a couple kings, so let's just do what he wants. And so they write back to him and say, nah, we're not gonna do that. just we're your slaves or whatever. Not slaves, but he's like, we'll do what you want. And so that's what happened. Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, If ye be mine, and if ye will hearken unto my voice, take ye the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me by Jezreel by tomorrow this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, so Ahab had 70 sons, were with the great men of the city which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets, and sent them to Jezreel. So, yeah, they meant business. I don't know. I guess they were so scared of this guy that they just killed Ahab's 70 sons. We're like, yeah, what do you want us to do? Kill 70 sons? Sure. All right. Well, whatever. We'll do it. They're like, well, we just got to find 70 baskets. That's the only problem to store their heads in. That's the only really the difficulty I can see. But we ought to be able to find that many baskets. You know, if we can't find enough baskets to put their decapitated heads in, maybe we can. I know a few weavers. We can kind of, we'll put like 60 or so in there. We'll weave the 10 baskets kind of while we're chopping off the last heads. You know, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Don't worry. So they really want to follow this guy, I guess. Got this thing on my finger that's bothering me. But I also have a tiny bit of red wine left. Just this much. You audio listeners can't see. Just going to sip. I feel like red wine's a real Bible-y drink, don't you? It's real Bible-y. Yeah, so they did that. And there came a messenger. There came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering in of the gate until the morning. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out, stood, and said to all the people, ye be righteous. Behold, I conspired against thy master and slew him. But who slew all these? Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he has spake by his servant Elijah. So it's kind of funny. Now he goes to everyone. He's like, look, I admit it. I'm the one who killed your king, but I didn't kill all these sons that you just killed. So that's kind of on you guys. So I think it's some weird, you know, when they have like this terrible gangs, they'll have them do like initiations where they'll have to like kill a guy or something. To prove their loyalty. This was kind of like that. The guy's like, well, to prove your loyalty, kill all these people. And he's like, he killed all these people. Ugh. But, you know, it sort of like guilts them. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Weird dynamics going on. So Jehu slew all that remained of that. Well, then he just goes ahead and does some slaying of his own. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. And I couldn't put Jezreel back together again. And his kinsfolks and his priests until he left him none remaining. Oh, there's a yawn. I'm standing, so I shouldn't just fall asleep. But I'm glad. I definitely needed to stand for this one because, it's a perfect storm. Exceptionally boring reading. B, it's the Bible. And C, I'm exhausted. So I have to stand. I'm thinking about maybe like hanging from my arms so that like I'll do a pull up every now and then just to stay away. I don't know. It was a little too difficult to set that up. But anyway, yeah, I'm really going to need to stay awake. Might do some like little tap dancing maneuvers and I'm shaking everything. Anyway, and he arose and so he kills everybody. Like he just destroys everybody ever involved with Ahab because that's something that people tend to do when they become king. They just kill everyone who was the past king. Like, there's, oh, you're the king's librarian? I'm killing you. I got to bring in my own guy. I got my own librarian. I got to bring him in. I guess just because they're always worried about, like, loyalty and stuff. Kind of makes sense. I got a great guy. He knows the Dewey Decimal System and everything. He's fantastic. I got my own. Sorry, I don't have room for one librarian. I can't. I got to kill you. Let's see. And he arose and departed and came to Samaria. And as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are ye? And they answered, we are the brethren of Ahaziah. And we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. And he said, take them alive. And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men. Neither he left any of them. So that kind of the phrase "take them alive" seems a little odd, because like he goes like "take them alive," and you're like, "Okay, boss, we'll do," and just kills them all. So I don't know what that means. If "take them alive" means kill them, I guess, because he doesn't express displeasure at this. So that's what he meant when he said "take them alive." He meant get, like take them alive and kill them. He just doesn't say the end of that. Take them alive and then kill them. So then he found some other people. Just killed them. He's just on a killing spree. He's been on a classic killing spree. Classic killing spree. All the telltale signs. Sorry, I got some cable weirdness going on here. I got some cable in some weird places. I got cable in places you don't even want to know about. I'm fidgety to stay awake. Okay, and so everybody's dead. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and saluted him. And he killed him. No, he didn't kill him. And said to him, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand. And he took him up. There's Hagar. Oh, sorry. And he took him up into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. He's like, "Hey, I'm on a classic killing spree. Classic killing spree. You got to come with me. Get my chariot. You got to witness this killing spree in the name of the Lord." Cool. I got a viewer now. Yeah, kill them alive. I don't really get it. It is weird. And when he came to, geez, is this the same sentence? No, it's a different sentence. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed them. And the whole time he's like, "Guys, I'm on a classic killing spree. This is totally a killing spree." Till he destroy him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. Yeah, I do have to recap this. I think I do. Elijah the prophet last time. Remember, Jehu went and asked, like, "Hey, is my master, the king, going to survive?" And Elijah's like, "You know what? Tell him he's going to survive because he's dead. Anyway, he's going to die, like, now. So just say, like, oh, yeah, he's fine." And then Elijah the prophet was, like, getting really sad. And Jehu's like, why are you so sad, man? What are you doing? And Elijah the prophet is like, well, Elisha, by the way, not Elijah. Elijah's dead. Elisha is like, well, you're going to kill, like, all my people or something, or all the Israelites. I don't know, all the something. I don't know, all some people. And he's like, how am I going to do that? I'm a nobody. And he's like, well, you're going to be king, et cetera, et cetera. And so now the funny thing is, like, Jehu is sort of killing all these people, but he's sort of referring to it as though, like, well, it's what the Lord said to do. And it's kind of a weird thing. It's like chicken and the egg, you know? It's like, well, the Lord didn't say to do that. Elisha was just saying, like, yeah, it sucks you're going to do that, you know? So, I don't know. It's unclear if, I don't know if the Lord is directing him to do this, or if he's just like, well, like I said, I was going to, I might as well, I'm not doing anything. I don't know. I have nothing to do. I got time for a killing spree. Classic killing spree. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. I love that line. He's just like, y'all know that, Ahab kind of served Baal. Well, I'm going to really serve Baal. And, but first I got to make Baal. Oh, ba-dum-tsh. Yeah, that's why he had a little guy on the rim shot. That was a really funny joke at that time. They didn't have any funnier jokes. That was like the funniest they had. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal and all his servants and all his priests, his wife, his children, and let none be wanting, for I have, and Mephisto and Diablo and all the, everybody else from Diablo 2 and 3. I don't remember anyone from Diablo 3. Game was not that great. I played through it a few times. Anyway, maybe it's better now. I don't know. I've heard. For I have great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. So he was making it up the whole time. He's like, oh yeah, I'm super into Baal, guys. God. Me and Baal, you kidding? Hey, guys, they don't know how much I love Baal. Yeah, no, I really love Baal. I'm so into him. He's like my Elvis. He's just so, just the way he's Baal and stuff. Like, there was the way he's things. Just, oh, I love it. Oh, I love how Baal he is. He's so Baal, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, cool, you're into Baal. All right, I'm into Baal. I'm into Baal, too. Yeah, no, we're all into Baal. And then he's like, "So, hey, do you want to have a massive Baal worship gathering? Just get everybody who's into Baal. Just let's get all of them. Oop, bump the mic. Just get everybody. Is it just all in one confined place from which there can really be no escape? I don't know why I'm saying that, but that's the kind of place I mean. So yeah, let's get them all. Let's put them in there. And let's just worship Baal. Just like, oh, really hard. We're going to go at it. Just worship the shit out of Baal. And so they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. That's cool. I'm into Baal. I'm really into Baal too. I'm glad to hear you're into Baal. That's awesome. New king, guys. New king's into Baal, everyone. Yeah, it's a good guy. But it turns out it was a trick. And And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. I guess that's what I kind of was saying. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And, well, it's kind of a small house, but anyway. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought forth them vestments. I don't know what the point of this part is. And you tell me after we get past it. He just, this last little dude, so he's going to kill all these people, right? Like, that's clearly his plan, because he's getting them all together. But the last thing they do is he's like, hey, get a bunch of vestments for him. And then let's see. And Jehu went and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only. Okay, maybe they dress them up so that they can distinguish them and make sure everybody's gone. It just seems weird, because they're already there for the gathering anyway, so like, I don't know why people of the Lord would go for the gathering but then not get in these garments. I don't know. And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And they brake down the images of Baal and brake down the house of Baal and made it a drought house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Howbeit from the sin until Diablo 3, till the next game. Howbeit from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel, that were in Dan. I think that just means they're trying to nitpick, like they like the Bible, saying, well, Jehu was good in this respect because he beat, you know, the fifth act of Diablo 2, killed Baal, and freed a lot of barbarians and stuff. Anyway, what the hell's that noise? I guess I have a baby or something. I don't know. It's weird. I didn't know I had a child. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So he beat the game. He beat it on normal mode. Maybe nightmare mode. Definitely not in hell mode. The Bible is saying, like, it's good that he did that. But he let these golden calves exist, which I guess is still... So it's like, you know, nobody's perfect, especially all these kings that keep coming and going. They all have a flaw, and his flaw was that he let some calves exist, so on, whatever. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. From Jordan eastward, in all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the Manassites, from the Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu. Guess what, guys? Further reading, the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did and all that his and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. At the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. Excuse me. So, that's the end of that chapter. Water break here. So, yeah, we're on to chapter 11. So, Jehu's dead. His son's taken over. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Kind of weird. I guess it means she killed some people. I don't know. She killed maybe more Ahab people? I don't know. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, hold on. Took Joash, the son of Ahaziah. Oh, no, this is Ahaziah people, who I think was a son of Ahab. I don't know. And stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. So this woman's going nuts and killing everyone, and they hide somebody who was like the king's son. So they're in line to be king next or something. And when and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and shook an oath, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and shewed them the king's son. So 6 years goes by, and then someone shows him the son, like, we got a king's son. And he commanded them, saying, gosh, I'm starting to lose it. Do some jogging, walk in place. Kind of jog in place a little bit. Everybody, you can do it too, even if you're in your car. Start jogging in place. I know, it's boring. It's a boring book. We're going to get through this. Got to get my blood pumping. And he commanded them, saying, I hope this isn't distracting to the viewers. Saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter on the Sabbath shall be even the keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sir. And a third part at the gate behind the guard. So ye shall keep the watch of the house, that it not be broken down. Oh, does this help people stay awake? I'm going to do this, just in case. You listeners don't get to know what I'm doing, because that sounded creepy. Because you got to get on the Ustream. I'm doing like a Zoidberg, like... Anyway. The third part of the gate, the keep watch of the house, that not be broken down. And two parts of all of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall encompass... I'll tell you what this BS is in a second, because it's not interesting. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out, and he cometh in. The captains over the hundreds did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give the king David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guards stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown on him. So all that was just saying, hey, everyone, here's the king's son. This is the guy's going to be. I think the queen took over. That's what it was. Some nuts queen was like, some queen. And then so she, the queen took over and was going to kill all the sons so that she could be in power, I guess. And somebody hid one of the sons. And so 6 years later, the son's revealed. And then this guy spends an hour freaking telling everyone, guard this guy. That's all he just said. He's like, everyone, we're going to surround him. We're going to, wherever he walks, we're going to like kind of tiptoe along with him. You know, so that we're always around him in a circle. I don't care if he has to go to the bathroom, we're still doing it. That's what he said. And so it brought forth the king's son. They put the crown upon him. It gave him the testimony. Oh, man, this is tough. I'm sorry. trying my best. I'm even standing up and I'm yawning like crazy. And they made him king, and they anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard of the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. So this is the nuts woman who's trying to be in charge. And she's like, what did you do? But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host, and said, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. And everyone's probably like, I don't think I'm going to follow her. How about that? And for the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house. And there she was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and brake it down. His altars and his images brake they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Mattan the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced because they had a freaking 7-year-old for a king. And the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehosh when he began to reign. So that's the end of that chapter. So they killed the woman, crazy woman who was in charge, and they took the son, even though he's 7, and they made him in charge. They're like, yeah, we got our king now. Woo! 7-year-old. All right, chapter 12. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. So here's another thing he didn't do. He didn't take away the high places. You always got to take away the high places, guys. That's always do that. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Even though Garth Brooks has friends in high places, you got to take them away. In low places. No, damn it, I messed that up. Yeah, that's the play on them anyway. And Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought unto the house of the Lord. Here's a nice boring procedural chapter. I just can't wait. I'm falling asleep in advance. Okay. All the money of the dedicated things brought in the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man has set out, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, power through it. Let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. So he's saying, like, hey, all the money we're raising for the church, let's repair the church. That's about it. But it was so that in the 23rd year of the king Jehoash, so that's 16 years later, the priests had not repaired any of it. So they're keeping the money, I guess. Then King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. Now this part I don't get, because so they're like, oh yeah, well, okay, we won't take any more money, but also we're not going to repair the house. I don't get it. I'll try to read on and see if it makes sense, but I don't know if they're just agreeing to themselves, like, hey guys, well, okay, we'll stop taking money, but no one fix this stupid house. I think that might be what it is. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out on the carpenters and the builders around upon the house of the Lord, and to the masons and the hewers of stone to buy timber and hewed stones to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessel of gold, vessels of silver, of the money that was brought in the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, how many times do I have to say of the Lord? Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was the priests. Then Hazael, the king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it, and Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, the king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Joram and Ahaziah and his fathers and kings of Judah had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. And the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose, and made a conspiracy, and slew Joash in the house of Millo, which goeth down to Silla. For Josachar, the son of Shemith, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servant, smote him, and he died. And they buried him with the fathers of the city and David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So, I don't really know. It just described, like, how they fixed the church for a while. And then, yeah, someone's asking for the cat. He's in the other room. He's locked away. He's away from my evil clutches. Anyway, so, yeah, this one could use a little cat, because I'm bored out of my mind with this stupid thing. So they fix the church, and then some people killed somebody. I don't know. Who cares? Who cares? This book sucks. Just read the cliff notes for this part. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 17 years. This is the last chapter, chapter 13. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. So I like how this... What the hell now? Gazillion viewers. I don't even trust that. For some reason, toward the end of the show, it always just goes up rapidly for no reason. That's someone's idea of a joke. Anyway, but I love this logic that they do here, where they'll just decide that the king, like Syria, is kicking their asses because the Lord's not happy with something. Like, they'll pick something that happened. Oh, because he didn't remove this golden cow, then Syria came and was like oppressed them. And it's just funny that, like, there's no cat. Sorry, man. It's not gonna be any cat in this episode. It's done. Anyway, just that, like, hindsight kind of logic. Like, well, what happened? Syria's been abusing us. I don't know. It must be something. I don't know. Just figure out what it is. There's no... You know, it's funny, too, is in these chapters, no one's even talking to God. There's not even... I mean, no one's talking to God the whole time. But in these ones, they don't even pretend that they're talking to God. They're just kind of godless right now, but then they just say whatever happens, they say that the Lord did it. It's pretty easy to just say that. Hey, guys, guess what? The other episode, the Lord made the cat come in, and then... You know, he didn't like what the cat was doing in that episode, so the Lord made it so there's no cat in this episode. So that's what the Lord did. Like, you can just say that. That's easy. That doesn't require any evidence or anything. You just say it. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead and leave. There's no cat. Apologize. Maybe next time. Oh, I see. So I need to start it even later. Is that, I mean, I started late this time. How, no matter when I started, it's always the end of the episode, though. I started 2 hours later than usual. Whatever. And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel went in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein. And there remained the grove also in Samaria. Neither did he leave of the people of Jehoahaz, but 50 horsemen, excuse me, and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. For the king of Syria had destroyed them, and had made them like the dust by threshing. Wow, that guy was freaking serious. He just left. He took him and his 14 friends. Weird. He said, "Me and my 14 friends are leaving if no cat." And then like 14 people disappeared. So I don't know if he had some bot network or something. Weird. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz, guess what, guys? And all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Joash and his son reigned in his stead. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz. They all sound the same. They're all the same friggin' idiots. They all do nothing. Nothing happens. God, this book is really getting to me. I don't know how long I can take this. And he did, guess what? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and made Israel to walk therein. And the rest of the acts of Joash, all he did, blah, blah, blah. And so Joash died. And let's see what else happened. Now, Elisha, oh, this is a weird, okay, something weird happens here. this guy's holding viewers hot. I don't, why do I care about fake viewers? I don't care. What does that matter to me? Now, Elisha has fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. So Elisha dies, supposedly. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow." Oh, no, he's not dead yet. I'm sorry. Wait. What the fuck? Okay, I guess he's not dead yet. He's like dying, even though that was weird wording. So Elisha, this part's funny. So Elisha says to this king, Elisha's really sick yet. So the king visits him, and Elisha's like, "Take bow and arrows." And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. And he said, "Open the windows eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord, yeah, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." So he just has him shoot an arrow out a window. And I was thinking it was going to be like Robin Hood or whatever, where it's like, bury me wherever that arrow lands. But no, he just shoots an arrow, and he's like, "You're going to be delivered from Syria." Why did I need to shoot the arrow for that? What is the arrow involved? Did I kill Syria with that area? With that arrow? Is that arrow just, did it kill Syria? Is that what it did? Why is, so he's just making stuff up. Seriously, he shoots the arrow. I'll read it. "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." No, and he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek." Why did I need to shoot an arrow for that? Just tell me that I'm going to do smite the Syrians in Aphek. And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice, and it stayed, and stayed. So he says, like, shoot some arrows in the ground. And he's like, "I don't know, shoot, shoot." So he shoots three. And he's like, "All right, I'm bored of this. What are we doing?" And Elisha was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest," he gets really mad. Elisha's pissed. He's like, "Ah, come on, man. Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." So I guess The amount of, it's just so funny. So let me put this first. I'll put it in English. I'm not trusting my viewership count anymore because I think some guy's got some weird bot network that he's using to wield an inordinate amount of power over when I do my live broadcasts. I'm on to you, sir. Who cares? I'm just recording these whenever. People can watch them if they want, and if not, I don't care. So Elisha's dying, right? And he tells the king, first he has him shoot this meaningless arrow out the window. He's like, that's for nothing. I just wanted you to do that. I just wanted to see if you'd do it. And then he's like, shoot some arrows into the ground. The guy's like, oh, gosh, serious old man, did you just die already? I don't know what this is about. He's like, all right, whatever. So I'll shoot. So he shoots an arrow. He's like, okay. Shoots another arrow. He's like, I don't know. Shoots one more arrow. And he's like, all right, I'm done with this. What am I doing here? And then Elisha's mad. He's like, ah, oh, come on, man. What are you? Three arrows? You should have shot five or six arrows. And then you would have defeated all of Syria. But since you only shot three, you only get to get Syria a little bit. That's seriously what he says. And the guy must have been like, how am I supposed to? You didn't tell me that. How about you just go ahead and tell me that part where, like, if I shoot enough arrows, I'd shoot like 20 arrows if you told me that. But I'm supposed to figure out this weird game you're playing where how many, let's see, it's this, yeah, sorry. How many arrows I shoot into the ground is means how many times I smite Syria? Like, how am I supposed to know that? And then you're mad at me. Like, duh, idiot. Like, how? God, this book is so stupid. It is just so stupid. And Elisha died, so Elisha dies. And they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold, they spied the band of a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up at his feet. Oh, that's what I made a mistake before because I thought Elisha was gonna not die. But what happened was that it's just a stupid story that at some point they were burying another guy and they accidentally buried him like near Elisha and he touched Elisha and that guy just spontaneously jumped back to life. So that's what happened there. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz, and the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad his son reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father. What? Sorry, people are distracting me. Anyway. I'm on the last chapter, and I got distracted, or the last paragraph, which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz. By his father, by the war. Three times did Jehoash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. So basically, it's just saying the guy, kind of like as was foretold, he smote Syria three times because of the three arrows. So he should have known to shoot five arrows for no reason. Like, he should have known that. Okay, so that's the end of the reading. I'm really tired of whatever's weird viewer shenanigans are happening. That's kind of annoying. So it's just some troll can like just put a bunch. Anyway, who cares? So I actually have zero listeners or zero viewers. Yeah, that's the end. And thanks for watching slash listening. Oh, everyone, please like the Facebook. It's only a small fraction of my listeners that are on the Facebook. I wish it was more. So I could talk to you guys and you could post and I could post and we could all be friends. And there's a new episode of F This Podcast out right now, which I was struggling with, as I told you, but it's up now. And there will be another episode of Two for Flinching tomorrow. So I'm just a podcasting son of a gun. Just constantly, I'm just shooting podcasts like something like Spider-Man with Spider-Web. I don't know. Just podcast straight in your ears. Anyway, so I'm done. Yeah, and if you haven't reviewed it on iTunes, please do. I saw a couple new reviews, so I appreciate that a lot. I think that's about it. I'll try to, hopefully the Bible can stop being so effing boring. Sam and Sarah, sorry that you just got here. That's over. So you have to watch it after I stop. But yeah, okay. Thanks, everyone. I will see you next time. Adios.